Mississippi plantation owner, the cantankerous Big Daddy, is celebrating his 65th birthday. His family has returned for the occasion, including his favorite son, the masculine Brick, and Brick's wife, the lonely and longing Maggie. Brick and Maggie's strained marriage plagues Big Daddy's mind, and he demands answers as to why they haven't given him a grandchild yet. However, Big Daddy's family holds a powerful secret and an ulterior motive as to why they have returned to the plantation. The family's troubled relationships and emotional lies become exposed in the timeless American treasure by Tennessee Williams' Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. Berkshire Theater Group presents Cat on a Hot Tin Roof as part of their season this summer. The show opened on Saturday after a few previews and runs through July 16th. We're joined this morning by Rebecca Brookshire and Michael Raymond James, who play Maggie and Brick on BTG's Fitzpatrick stage. Rebecca and Michael, welcome to the roundtable.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So you had a bat on stage opening night.
Yep. Yes, we did.
Sure did.
How is that handled? We'll get more serious in a minute, I promise.
Well, bat on a hot tin roof, it fits.
Did you have to stop the show?
Yeah, we did.
Well, yeah, it was, you could sort of hear the audience murmuring amongst themselves. And, I was sort of like, what is going on? Why is somebody feeding booze to these people? and then all of a sudden I saw it. And at some point shortly thereafter.
And it came on stage. While we were talking.
It literally came on stage, yeah. And so, and Kate McGuire, our CEO of the Berkshire Theater Group, sort of came up to the actors and just said, could we sort of hit pause for a moment and we'll handle this? And so we just walked off stage and they got it out. They got it out humanely.
Yes.
And then we were able to resume the show,
so we couldn't keep talking on stage. But it was a fun, and then the audience was so on our side after that, and it came at the right point because we had just started the second act, so it really wasn't sort of interrupting any big emotional moment. So it was great to stop, pause, and come back.
And when you rejoined the stage, restarted the show, everybody was able to focus in, and like you said, the audience is right with you because you've gone through.
We've gone through something together.
It was collective.
So how do you come to be in this production? How did you get the roles, and why did you decide to use your summer doing this play?
We have very fun and opposite stories about that, actually. Yeah. I've worked in the Berkshire several times at different theaters here, and but the director and I met after I finished my time at Juilliard. He's also a Juilliard alum, and we were working on a show together. And then after that, he asked me to do a new play at BTF called Sick. Mm-hmm. And then that was our first of four now productions together at BTF, BTG now. And we just have a great time together. And he very flatteringly wanted to work with me again and find a show that we could both do together and suggested it. And you don't say no to Maggie.
And the director, we should mention, is David Auburn.
Yes.
How do you come to the production?
Yeah, totally the opposite. It's been 8 years since I've been on stage. And I was feeling a little soul sick. I've been working quite a bit, but out of Los Angeles, a lot of film and television, and I'm grateful for all that work, and it's taken me all over the world and really interesting parts, but I really felt strongly the need to get back on stage, and so I really wanted to hit pause on all the machinery of Los Angeles, and I was in a position that I was able to do that, and so I told my people to keep their eyes out for plays that I could maybe do and kind of put. And I went to New York after I wrapped a show for NBC and did a round of meetings in the theater world. And I had to sort of start from the bottom and reintroduce myself to everyone. And then I found out that they were looking for a Brick. And, I really chased it hard. And so I put myself on tape in a hotel room in Austin doing a promotional tour for Game of Silence and had my Game of Silence co-stars hold the iPhone and the other one read the Maggie part. And so then we sent that in to David and the casting people and they liked it and they asked if I would be willing to fly myself to New York to meet with David and to do work in the room together because you really don't know how something's going to work out until until you get in there and kind of do it. And so so I did. I flew to New York and met with them and, did the scene a couple of times and broke an umbrella. Uh, and, uh, and walked out. And by the time I got back to the hotel, they'd called with an offer. So, you know, so I chased it. I mean, this was something I really, really, really wanted to be a part of. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity, especially to work along with Rebecca and Jim Beaver and the rest of our cast. And you know, Linda Geringer, Big Mama. And
yeah, we have, Jen love Harris. Our cast. It's a lot of people think of the Maggie and Brick and Big Daddy, but it really turned out to be an ensemble show. Can we do
Brian
a quick shout out to all of our people?
Sure.
So Linda Geringer is Big Mama, and she is a powerhouse lady. She was on Evening Shade, four seasons, I think, something like that. Tim Gulan and Jen Harris are big staples in the New York theater scene. They play May and Gooper, and those roles are some of the best written secondary roles in Tennessee Williams, and they do them justice.
Yeah, it's great.
They're insanely good. Brian Russell and David Atkins play Doc and the Preacher, and they kind of steal their scenes. They're amazingly wonderful. And then we have a local girl, Juliana. She's 10 years old from Pittsfield, and she is awesome.
The play won the Pulitzer in 1955, which is, you know, quite a little while ago, not in the history of the world, but in the history of theater and writing. What do you think it is about Cat on a Hot Tin Roof that makes it so resonant still today?
Well, we're not doing that version of the play. We're doing the 1974 version, which Tennessee rewrote. You know, despite the fact that it had won the Pulitzer and it had won Tony's, he wasn't happy with it. You know, he still, and that's, I think, you know, a lot of artists are tinkerers, you know, and sort of once it's out there, it's still not satisfied. So you got to kind of mess
sure.
with it. And so that's the version that we're doing that he rewrote. But I think, you know, it addresses themes that are timeless, you know, the aspects of humanity that are boiled down to its nut, you know what I mean? And so I think that there's things that anyone can respond to, and that's the mark of any good art, regardless of the whatever form it takes, be it a song or a painting or you know, it's when you boil things down to their essence and its basic humanity, then everyone can respond to some aspect of it, you know.
The core, this is about a family getting really bad news about the sickness of its patriarch, and it's cancer. So everyone, a lot of people have gone through that experience, and it's heartbreaking. And then you have a couple that's having huge marital problems and not sure where that's going to fit in, especially with this big death in the family. Who's going to be the new patriarch? Who's going to take over this huge estate? So those are huge themes, and it is actually pretty neat that we're doing the 74 version, because mm-hmm. it's not the 50s version where they had to edit a lot of the language. We've got a lot of the vulgarity that's been put back in, so
good.
It's been
it
kind
helps.
Of fun to play with that. But then also a lot of people are comparing it to the movie version, and a lot of those actors actually signed on thinking it was going to be like the play, and they had to edit a whole lot of the play out because it just wasn't going to be accepted in on
the
film.
Hollywood code at the time wouldn't allow it. The, you know, the Hays code.
A lot of the sexuality and the homosexuality questions in there are taken out, mm-hmm. and so we get to deal with a lot of that. So a lot of the audience is going to be very surprised if they're comparing it to any of those versions.
Yeah,
and you also have to create your characters up against the icons of Elizabeth Taylor and Paul Newman. Do you just mostly put that out of your head as you work?
Yeah, it doesn't have any effect on me. I mean, I haven't seen the movie in a long time, and I certainly couldn't do a Paul Newman impression. but we're also doing a different text. We're doing a different
right.
script, you know. And so if people come with that to look at it, you know, and they have that in their mind, you know, I think they'll see pretty quickly that that's, you know, we're not doing some version of Elizabeth Taylor and Paul Newman. We don't have to.
Part of the something that David Auburn said was that he really thinks, and I think we all that feel this way, that there is no quintessential version done yet. And not that, I mean, that she did a wonderful version of that movie that is not at all like this version. Mm-hmm. So we are doing a very different text, so we can't really base it on that kind of thing. I put it out of my mind during the rehearsals, and then I'm getting a lot of people saying, "Ooh, you're Elizabeth Taylor, aren't you? Is that what you're playing?" And it's like, well, not really.
But thank you for coming.
Yeah. but, you know, as soon as they do that when they hear me say that, but then when they come and see it, it's not really a comparison.
How does the location where you are, being in the Berkshires away from home, doing summer regional theater, affect your process? Is it good to get away from your other responsibilities of life to put on a show?
Yes. Very much so. I come up here, this is, I consider one of my, another home for mm-hmm. me. I've been blessed to be able to come work at several theaters in the Berkshires almost every summer since I've graduated from school. And I don't think that I would pick New York if I wasn't a theater person. And this is how I get through my year. I get to go hiking every day for 6 weeks, and that really fuels me for the rest of the time and feeds my soul. And being able to work and have this common language with David has been soul feeding as well. And this wonderful cast, I just can't tell you how great they are. And we're gonna win Michael over to the theater stages in New York as well. We're working on that.
Win who, me over?
Yes.
Done. I mean, I my whole plan was to stay in New York till I was 40, but it just got sideways for me a little bit. But yeah, to your question about, you know, being up here, first of all, there's something very special about the Berkshires. And I think for me personally, it, particularly with this role in this play, that bit of isolation during rehearsals was crucial for me for sort of the process of, especially coming back to it after 8 years, you know, this process being that. It was really helpful. And it's just such a gorgeous area. And I'm so happy to be up here. And now I have my family here with me as well. And so get to kind of show them around. It's a great place for kids. And it's kind of magical in a way, you know.
Extra magical now that we have a wizarding school on top of Mount Greylock.
I just heard about this.
Oh, wait, a what?
The new Harry Potter book is going to be set at Mount Greylock.
The North America, it's obviously this is fiction, but J.K. Rowling announced that the...
I know my truth.
The North American Wizarding School is on the top of Mount Greylock, which is in Williamstown.
Well, also, we are talking... the Berkshire seemed to be such a neat backdrop, even though we're talking about the Mississippi Delta. In New York, I don't have any reference to the an estate and that much land and that much, you know, wonder. And I can feel that around here, that much space. So it's been so cool.
But you're from a place originally that
originally, has, but yeah. I've been out of it for a long time.
Yeah, but you know what that is, you know.
It's good to feel it.
Yeah, I hear you. It is good to feel it.
Space and
you
green.
You got to feel it.
Yeah.
Cat on a Hot Tin Roof runs on the Berkshire Theater Group's Fitzpatrick main stage through July 16th. To learn more, visit berkshiretheatergroup.org. Rebecca and Michael, thank you so much for joining
me
today.
Thank you. Come see us.
Thanks for having us.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.